Welcome to the City on Hill podcast. So glad you're joining us today. I believe this message is going to enlarge your faith, increase your vision. God is going to do extraordinary things in you and through you. Work it into your life, share it with your friends, and we cannot wait to see you soon.
But we've been looking at the mastermind, and we realize that our minds are powerful because our minds determine our behavior. And often, if you think wrong, you're going to live wrong. And we realize that thinking wrong comes from believing wrong. If you believe wrong, you're going to think wrong. If you think wrong, you'll live wrong. Remember that? And so most people want to change their actions, but it's not, you don't change your actions by changing your actions. You change your actions by changing your belief system. When you change your beliefs, you change your thinking. So if your mind thinks differently, that's why Romans 12 says we need to be transformed. We can do God's will. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's how we do God's will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hello? And we saw that we need to repent. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the fact that we need to repent. And we looked at how Peter's testimony around even freedom over financial burden. What happened was he needed to come to a place of repentance. Repentance is the Greek word metanoia, is to change the way you think. But that word is also powerful. Yolandi reminded me of the fact that you actually don't just change the way you think through repentance, but to repent means to, the penthouse is always the nicest place on a building. I've been in a 30 million rand penthouse. Have you ever been in a nice penthouse? I've been in a 30 million Tokyo Sekhwale's penthouse. Very nice. Just between the two of us. Very, very nice. I was in a penthouse once in Johannesburg. And so what happened was, this penthouse is the best place of the building. And most people, when they sin or when they fall short or when they make mistakes or when they think wrong about their lives, when they think earthly, they find themselves in the basement of life. They find themselves in the basement of spirituality. They find themselves in religion and in do's and don'ts. But God wants us to repent. Can I hear someone say amen or a something? God wants us to repent. You know what he wants to do? He wants to take you from the basement to the penthouse. He wants you to repent. Go back to the highest place from which you have fallen. The highest place is the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2 says, we are seated with Christ, in Christ, in heavenly places. I'm no longer of the earth. I'm born from above. That's what it means to repent. That's what this whole series was all about, is for you and me to live from heaven to earth, to live with our position in heaven, our minds in heaven. People say, don't be so earthly, so heavenly minded and no earthly good. I'm here to say to you that if you're truly heavenly minded, you'll be very earthly good. I thought I was going to get an amen for that. So 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Everything we need. Everything we need. Can you say everything? Everything we need for a godly life, though, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. How do we partake, take hold of this amazing everything that he made available to us? How do we partake? Through the knowledge of him. See, when people don't know Christ, they don't partake in everything that we need for godliness. If you don't know Christ in your marriage, you're not going to partake in the godliness of marriage. You're not going to have a godly marriage. If you don't know Christ in your business, you're going to struggle to have a godly business. Tsepo, do you mind standing up? Tsepo, can you just give God thanks for Tsepo? Tsepo. Tsepo, God showed me in the worship that there's a door opening for you. There's a door opening for you. It's not just a door into another room. It's an elevator door. I felt like God is saying, you're going to be elevated in the next season of your life. It's a door that is, he says, God says, I will open a door that no man can shut. He says, this door is a door of an elevator. He says, there's some elevation taking place in your spirituality. And God is saying, do not sell yourself short. I see you tempted to press floor 2. God is saying, no, there's more for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. See, when we don't know Jesus, we sell ourselves short. In an area, we can know Jesus in some areas and actually have abundance, and then in other areas we have lack because we don't know him. Know Christ, know life. No, I'm not saying no. Know Christ. Know Christ. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. If we don't know the truth, if we don't know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, in an area of our lives, we experience destruction. Now, so some people might be sitting here saying, Mark, you're telling me that my mind is so powerful. You're telling me that I need to think right. My mind needs to be renewed day by day by the word of God, by the truth. I need to replace the lies with the truth. We've been looking at it last week. You said to us, Lord, the Lord said to us as a church, you need to reframe. So when something comes, you need to put the truth over it. You need to actually reframe, get a new perspective on things. That's how you overcome. Remember last week? Who loved last week? Powerful stuff, right? But instead of letting my sinful nature control my mind, I'm here to say to you, friends, your sinful nature can either control your mind or the Spirit of God can control your mind. And so most people say renew their mind, but they don't know what that means. What it means is Romans chapter 5. It says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, how are they dominated by the sinful nature? They think about sinful things. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, what happens? They think about sinful things. Oh, I use the S word, S-I-N, in church. It's a new swear word. Hello? The S word, the three-letter S word, S-I-N. Can I talk about sin? The New Testament talks about sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Sin separates you and me from God, right? So if my mind is controlled by sinful nature, I'm going to live a sinful life. Most people are saying, Mark, I'm trying to stop sinning. I'm here to say to you, change the way you think and your sinful life will change. Amen? It says, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Oh, I've got good news for you. You want to please God? You want to live a life of the Spirit? You want to live a New Testament life, a Christ life, a Christ-like life? Focus on the thoughts that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Think on the truth of God inspired by His Spirit. Amen? Verse 6 says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Can you say death? Mark, this is powerful. It says here, when my sinful nature controls my mind, guess what happens? I live death. My sinful nature, when my mind is set on sin, it leads to death. That's why the enemy is very clever. He just bombards our minds with lies, with sin, and guess what happens? That will lead to death. The enemy doesn't have to kill you. He just has to lie to you. You'll kill yourself. The enemy does not have to destroy your marriage. He just has to lie to you. And then you'll destroy your marriage for him. The enemy does not have to abuse your kids. He just has to lie to you, and then you'll abuse them for him. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Hallelujah. But listen to this. I love this. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Come on. When I submit my thoughts to the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? I get life and I get peace. When I submit my thoughts to the Holy Spirit, I get life and I get peace. I want to talk to you today about the peace of God that's an outflow, an overflow, a byproduct of you and me setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. When you and I change our core belief, when we get ministered to by the Spirit on the inside of us, it changes the way we think, and that changes. Then we have spiritual thoughts. We've got Spirit-led thoughts. We've got Christ-centered thoughts. Guess what that happens? It leads to life, and it leads to peace. If you're sitting here this morning and you're struggling without peace, I've got awesome news for you. God's going to give you a key this morning to unlock peace back into your life. If you don't have peace in an area of your life, God is going to unlock peace. And I just had to tell the story. I was at the GLS yesterday, the Global Leadership Summit. It was absolutely amazing. And if you weren't there, I want to ask you, speak to someone, get the teachings, that's very good stuff. But what Daniel Strickland told the story about what happened in an area of Rwanda where they had a reduction of 60% of domestic violence. So domestic violence meaning there's violence in the homes. 60% of domestic violence was reduced. It was reduced by 60% in this one area of Rwanda. And she thought, wow, that's amazing transformation. 60% less. Justin, I mean, that's amazing. In 1 year, we're not talking 10 years, 20 years, in 1 year. She said, let me find out how this happened. So she went to a guy and she investigated. And she asked this one guy, he's a leader in the community. She asked him, how did this all start? And he said, it started when I went to a course. And in this course, they told me that my life is not just what I see on the outward. My life is a lot like a tree. Now, if you're sitting here and you're looking at me all holy, we all need Jesus. Right? Does no one get angry in this room? If you never get angry, just put your hand up now, right now. Okay, thank you. I see that hand. If you never make a mistake, you never say something wrong to your family, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about sometimes shouting, sometimes raising our voices, sometimes becoming bad and angry and upset, and sometimes having a bad attitude. We spoke about the power of attitude. Remember that? And so what happened was, this man said, I went to this course, and at this course they told me that my life is a lot like a tree. And they said, a tree? And she thought, this is not important. And then guess what happened? He explained to her. He said, my tree is like my life. And Jesus said this, a tree will be known by its fruit. Am I right? And so guess what they did at the course? They said, what you need to do is you need to investigate the fruit of your life. And this man said, I investigated the fruit of my life. And what I saw, Darren, the fruit of my life, he says, this is what I investigated. I found this, is that my financial life was quite all right, David. He said, my work life was quite all right. He says, my church life was quite good. He says, but my family life was shocking. She said, explain. He said, you know, Rwanda is a hot nation. It's hot in that nation. But my house was cold. He said, in my house, when I investigated my life, when I saw the fruit of my life, he said, in my house, I found that I was violent in my home. This was a Christian, a Jesus follower. I think he was a leader in the church. It's getting quiet now. He said this. He said, I would raise my voice to my kids. I would lead with fear. And I would assault my wife. I beat my wife. And so when he realized that this fruit is a problem in his family, it's a problem in his household, they said to him, listen, you need to know, your fruit is the result of your actions. You've got certain actions that are unhelpful for you. There's certain things that you do that are unhelpful, because a tree doesn't only have fruit, it's got branches. And those branches connect the fruit with the tree trunk. And the branches are your actions. And you realize, my actions were wrong. I would come there, I would have wrong actions, I would have a wrong approach, my actions were wrong. And guess what happened is, they said, that's not enough to get transformed. What you need to realize is, your actions are a product of your values, your value system. He said, because of the tree trunk is like my values, what I value most produced actions, and those actions produced fruit that were unhelpful. They said, he called it bitter fruit. So they said to him, your values, just knowing that your values are wrong will not change you. Guess what happens? You need to know what's your root. What are your roots of your tree? He said, it's my core beliefs. It's what I believe about myself. It's what I believe about God. It's what I believe about family. What I believe inside of me set my values, which set my actions, which produced results that I didn't want. And most people, when you look at your life, I'm going to give you some homework. Could you sit with Jesus today or tomorrow and look at the fruit of your life, every area of your life, and ask him, are you enjoying the fruit in every area? Whether it's your parenting, whether it's your relationship with your parents, whether it's your friendships, your workplace. What's your fruit? And this guy said, he realized that his core beliefs came in when he was about 14 to 15 years old. His father called him in. His father spoke to him, and his father said to him, if you really want to be a man one day, listen to this. He said, if you really want to be a man, he said, what you need to do is you need to be strong. And you know what you need to do? You need to be feared. by your family. And he said, if you want to be a man one day, you need to let your wife listen to you. And you need to be the boss of your home. And if you want to really be a man, you'll not let anyone walk over you. But when you come home, you are the king of your home. That was what the father taught him when he was 14, 15 years old. You need to lead them with fear. So they're scared of you. They do what you say because they're scared of you. So guess what this man did? He said when he got to the core beliefs, that's, I'm talking about your sinful nature. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit influencing your sinful, your thoughts so that you can live righteously. Guess what happened? This guy went and he said, let me look at Jesus. Jesus was kind. He was gracious. Jesus was humble. Jesus served. He didn't lead with fear. He didn't lead with control. He led with love and security and faithfulness. And guess what this man did? He repented. He went back to the highest place. He changed his mind. He changed his mind around things. He changed his mind around his core beliefs. And guess what happened? He said instead of valuing his values being to control, he started valuing connection because he believed differently. He said instead of valuing authority, he started valuing intimacy. He said this, instead of valuing people respecting me, he started valuing having a relationship with people. Instead of exploding in anger, he became humble. And you know what happened? His family changed so much that the community came to him and said, why is your family so different? And he started telling them, your life is a lot like a tree. And so many people started changing their core belief about themselves because there was a general belief that men in the home are the bosses. Men in the home must be feared. Men in the home, they must control. And when he changed that, it didn't just change him, it changed all the families in that area and dropped the domestic violence rate with 60%. Can you give God praise for that? So you might say, but Mark, I get these thinking, these thoughts that are not from God. What must I do with these thoughts? Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, you cannot stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. You're laughing. Because the bad thoughts are going to come. The control thoughts are going to come. The negative things, because there's things that we were taught from a young age. Friends, I think of racial divide. I think of our work ethic. I think of some of our issues in our society. They were ingrained in us as little ones. They become our default thinking. And when that lie comes, we need to just address the lie and not let it make a nest in our hair. So would you like to learn how to live in peace? Who'd like to learn? Let me give it to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to give you verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. Four verses that I believe will change your life. This is one of the biggest gifts I believe I can give you today. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You might say, but Mark, I learned this in Sunday school. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The problem is, we sing the song, but we don't know how to do it. What does it mean to rejoice? For me, what it means to rejoice is to remember. That's what Rian was speaking about and Murdoch was speaking about this morning. We need to remember who God is. Psalm 119, we need to meditate on His precepts. Rejoicing and meditation is the same thing. Rejoicing is not just singing songs. That's part of that. Singing songs is part of it. But rejoicing and meditating is the same thing. Can I give you a secret? Can I give you a secret? People hear me sometimes. When I drive, I go like, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I walk anywhere, I'm like, Jesus, thank you. You know what I learned? I need to train myself to remember who God is. I need to train myself to zone in on who God is because I get distracted from Him with everything around me. Rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes or always? It's amazing how He calls you twice. He's saying, rejoice, rejoice. When He says it twice, it's like God called Abraham. Abraham, Abraham, God is calling you. He actually wants you to hear what he has to say. Spiritually and physically, he's talking to you. Amen? I believe that when we rejoice, we become gentle. When we rejoice, anxiety leaves. When we rejoice, we experience the presence of God, because God says he inhabits the praises of his people. God says that we enter, Psalm 100, we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we enter his courts with praise. Wow, do you want to experience God's presence? Learn how to rejoice. Oh, but Mark, you won't understand, I'm not enjoying my life at the moment. Life is not good, you know, the country's difficult, I didn't get a salary increase, I lost my job, I don't have a reason to rejoice. I'm sorry to say, my friends, circumstances is not a reason. Jesus is the reason. I thought I was going to get an amen, a woman or something. Verse 6 says this, it says, do not be anxious about anything. I'm pausing because I'm talking to every single person in this room. And I'm talking to the thousands that are watching us online. I'm saying this to you, and I want to say to you online, be anxious about nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. Anything. You know that the world runs on anxiety. Insurance companies, they run on anxiety. They are driven by fear. People do things because they are scared. People are leaving the country because they are scared. If you leave the country, I'm asking you to leave because Jesus says leave. But if you're doing it out of fear, guess what happens? Fear is waiting for you. Whether it's New Zealand or England or wherever, fear is waiting for you on the other side of the sea. If you make a decision based on fear, you are not in faith and you cannot please God. I'm guaranteeing you now, you are sinning when you make a decision based on fear. Fear is an acronym. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Most illnesses today are stress and anxiety related. You know why most people are at the doctor today? Not because of global warming, but because they are too stressed to be blessed. How about we become too blessed to be stressed? Come on. Now you're saying to me, Mark, it's easy for you to say. Jy's 'n pastoor. Jy gaan nie eers toilet toe nie. Can I confess? I get anxious a lot. I get anxious when I see people leave our church. I get anxious when I see my kids are struggling with stuff and they're struggling with developmental stages. I get anxious. I get anxious when I see things in my family that I'm not proud of. I get anxious. I get anxious when I hear what's happening in our nation. I get anxious sometimes. I get anxious when I get to my house and they broke into my house. I get anxious. I get anxious when it comes close to the end of the month because we've got to pay salaries. Seeing that I'm the only one that gets anxious, I'll preach to myself. I'm going to give you... I love this. Cherie did not know what I'm preaching. She came and brought a prophetic word here. Remember that? Fear. She said, God wants to deliver people from fear. Now, the only way I can stand on this platform is not because I'm perfect. She goes, I've learned one thing, that anxiety and fear is merely just a partnership with a lie. That's all it is. It's false evidence appearing real. It's the devil telling me stuff. And you know what's amazing? That the devil can't read your mind. God knows your thoughts. But the devil doesn't know your thoughts. But you know what he does? He puts thoughts in your head. And when you agree with those thoughts, guess what happens? You get offended. You get discouraged. You get disappointed. And you know what? You and I, we run away from the inheritance that God has got for us. Because of fear. And then, you know what all the enemy needs? He needs someone to be insensitive once, to tell you one thing that was not the truth. And now, there's two witnesses. It's the devil and that other person that said, you can't do anything. And now you've got two witnesses, and now you're the third witness, and then you agree with a lie, and then you agree with fear, and then you're making a decisions based on fear and not based on faith. So what do I do when I get anxious? Because I get anxious. What do I do when I know that the tenants aren't paying? I learned that the best antidote for anxiety is prayer. I've learned this, is that when I feel scared, and when I feel like the church is going nowhere, and I see we need to break barriers, and I'm scared that we're not going to break it, and I think to myself, Lord, are we ever going to break through? And Lord, are we ever going to impact more? And Lord, are we ever going to see more people saved? And Lord, are we ever going to see more people baptized? And Lord, are we ever going to see all the leaders that you promised us? And what about the 300 churches that we still need to plant? And Lord, what about the many nations we still need to go to? And Jesus, what about the millions and millions of rands that's needed to do this? What about that? And God says to me, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Max Lucado said this. He said that no one can pray and worry at the same time. No one can pray and worry at the same time. So if you have worries, can I be honest with you? Pray. And you know when you pray, it's amazing how your worries fade because you're focusing on Jesus, man. Amen. You know, worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and the power of God. Most people say to me, but Mark, I don't know how to meditate. You know how to meditate. Worry is a negative form of meditation. If you are worrying, you are a meditator. So I've got awesome news for you. Tell the person next to you, this is for you. Watch this. Seeing that you know how to meditate, let's just change what you meditate on. Amen. Pray the word of God, man. Pray the word of God. Norman Vincent Peale, which was this breakthrough guy that spoke about meditation and positive thinking. I love this guy. He said this. You need to pray lies. Can you say pray lies? You need to visualize, and you need to actualize. Most people want to change their actions. They want to stop worrying. I'm here to say to you, start praying. And you know when you pray, guess what happens? You can visualize. And when you visualize, you're going to start actualizing. The actualizing will flow from the prayerizing. Thoughts and prayers work together. It says in Ephesians 3:20 that God will do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we could think or pray for. Prayer and thoughts go together. I've learned this. Some of my most powerful prayers were not loud. They were thoughts. Because prayer and thoughts go together. John Knox was such a powerful man of God that he prayed sometimes 8 hours a day, and they would listen to him and ask, how many words does he say in 8 hours? Every 30 minutes or so, he would say, oh God. And then he'd carry on praying. And then about 30, 40 minutes later, oh God. And the queen, listen, Mary, the queen of the Scots, feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe. I double checked it. She feared the prayers of John Knox more than armies of other nations, Trevor. Why? Because he knew how to meditate on the truth. Amen? Caroline Leaf, do you want to change your brain? Do you want to rewire your brain? Switch on your brain. Caroline Leaf said this. They found that studies have shown, and Lord, I want to land this because I know the rugby's coming, but I want Jesus to do something in your life. Can are you open? All right, I'm in the right place. I'm with the faithful people. Listen to this. It has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain in such an extent, to such an extent, that it can be measured on a brain scan. I mean, come on. 12 minutes of daily prayer. I'm just talking, Franz, 12 minutes. I'm only 12 minutes of focused daily prayer. You don't know what to pray. Get to the Psalms. Pray through Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians. Pray through the scriptures. Just pray focused prayers. Sometimes what I do is I get a scriptural worship song and I play it over and over and over again. If I meditate on the blood of Jesus, I say, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. I just meditate. Oh, washes water. I meditate on my freedom. I meditate on my cleansing. I meditate on God's goodness. 12 minutes, 8 weeks, you'll have a different brain. Science proven. Okay, can I see the switch? 12 minutes of negative worrying over 8 weeks. Can I talk to someone? That's why Smith Wigglesworth, I think it was Hein, you said, when someone came to visit him, they had the newspaper in there under their arm. Smith said to him, leave the newspaper outside. I don't allow any bad news in this house. We're living in a society where people can quote Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and they can quote News 24 better than they can quote their Bibles. Forgive me for getting angry. I said, bloody Bibles. Forgive me, Lord. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it. Oh, Lord. But I'm serious about this. Are we quoting the Bible or are we quoting the news? You know what prayer does? Prayer heals your brain. Prayer renews your mind. You don't get conformed. Now watch the promise, verse 7. And the peace of God. Can you say the peace of God? See, when you and I pray, peace comes. Peace comes. If you don't have peace, you don't have life, because life and peace go together. Peace comes when you pray. It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. So all the natural thinking, the limitation thinking, the earthly thinking, this peace transcends that. And it will guard our hearts and our minds. Listen to that. The peace of God guards heart and guards the mind. Peace flows from prayer. Can you allow God's peace that passes all understanding to guard your heart? Can you allow Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to captivate your heart again? Can you allow the peace to rule like an umpire in your heart, to be your ruler? Now, here's the thing. Most people tell me, no, they follow peace. I'm here to say to you that peace needs to follow you. Because sometimes people look for flesh and they call it peace just because it's comfortable. Comfort and peace is not the same thing. You can be in the most uncomfortable situation and have the peace of God all over you. I remember when we planted this church, it was super uncomfortable. Day in and day out was super uncomfortable. I cannot explain the discomfort we experienced, but I can't tell you the peace. The peace passed. People looked at my life and said, are you crazy? I said, no, I'm loving this. Ask these guys, we're in the Philippines. We're in an area, we're flying into an area where they're saying, whoa, pasop is mulakay. We have peace. Peace needs to be practiced. Friends, if you don't have it, you don't know. If you don't practice it, you will not know when you've lost it. Every single time I've lost the peace of God, I've missed out on what God had for me. If you're far from God here this morning, I've got good news for you. Jesus Christ wants to give you peace with God. If you are disconnected from God, you are under judgment. But if you're connected with God, you will be saved by grace. He will give you peace today in Jesus' name. I want to ask you to not interpret God through your circumstances, but to interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. That's what it means to have peace. It's not to say, God, I look to you based on what I know an experience around me. No, Lord, I look at my experiences and my circumstances based on who you are, how good you are, how faithful you are.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Thank you for investing this time into your life. Please do us a favor and share this on your social media platforms. Share it with your friends and work it into your life. We cannot wait to bless you again with another installment.